Welcome back to The How, Channeling Water Solutions, a podcast from W12 Plus program. The How focuses on water solutions and the people behind them from around the world. In this third season, we are excited to bring to you a series of 6 episodes highlighting locally led organizations and their work in water, sanitation, and hygiene across Ethiopia, Ghana, and Uganda.
Each episode brings a story of a local organization and its people. The stories highlight pressing water challenges in their communities and how these locally led organizations are addressing them. They are locally led, community-driven water solutions.
I'm your host, Kajal.
And I'm your host, Anna. Kajal, in this episode, you spoke with Hermela Wandiam as co-founder and Elfaz Kasa as program director from Drop of Water, also known as DAO, a locally led organization based in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. What can you tell us about DAO?
DAO was established in 2009 by a group of university students seeking opportunity to improve drinking water and sanitation in rural Ethiopia. DAO uses a volunteer force of 20 people to support its 150 WASH projects. DAO's projects focus on generating a safe water supply, promoting hygiene and sanitation, building wells, and integrating nutrition program.
Thanks, Kajal. Let's listen in and learn a bit more about Drop of Water.
Hermela and Elfaz, can you share a bit about how you got involved in water work and what interests you in this area?
Thank you, Kajal. Thank you for having us. My name is Hermela, and I get involved with water and related issues back in 2009. And at that time, I was a young university student. I was doing my bachelor degree in Mekelle University in Ethiopia, and I had the opportunity to meet me and my friends, of course, my roommates. We had the opportunity to meet Matt Damon, the top Hollywood movie star, and we were a fan of him. And we just went out to have picture with him, but we learned through the process, like he was there to support water projects in the rural Tigray area and through his organization, water.org, and in collaboration with a local organization called REST. So that captured our heart, and the first thing that we did was with the local partner that he was partnering with, they arranged for us like a field trip to go out in the remote areas of Tigray and actually witness the water problem as a first-hand experience. And that was a day that really anchored me in this industry, or in the WASH industry, I could say. So on that specific day, I had the opportunity to see and to witness how the people in the rural areas are suffering because of lack of access to clean drinking water supply, and especially women and girls. They were the ones who were disproportionately affected with this problem specifically, and they travel long distances. And we thought, like me and my friends, we need to do something for that community, at least to provide a water well or a clean water well supply for that community.
Thank you, Hermela. Elfaz, can you share your story?
Thank you so much, Kajal. My name is Elfaz Kasa, and I work as a program director for Drop of Water. Likewise, Hermela, I was attending my bachelor degree in Mekelle University back in 2010. During that, my stay in the campus, I learned about the shortage of clean drinking water and the possible projects from the co-founders of Drop of Water. By then, it was called Help for a Drop of Water. And it was a students' movement in the university raising funds through engaging university students in different activities to raise funds. And I joined them as an event organizer in the university. Even though I didn't really understood the real problem of the community, it was just an easy thing for me to see the shortage of clean, just to hear the shortage of clean drinking water in the rural areas. However, my engagement with the Help for a Drop of Water co-founders allowed me to visit one of the rural areas. And I visited that area for the first time in my life. I saw people are struggling to get access to clean drinking water. It was like very sad reality to see my community struggling to get the most basic and precious thing, clean water. So that was the time that changed my mind. So at that time, I decided that I can also contribute something to support this community through Drop of Water.
I think for both of you, the exposure that you got at the university did change your path and brought you to the water sector. And since you mentioned drop-off water multiple times, can you tell a bit about your organization, what kind of projects and programs it does related to water?
Yeah, as we tried to mention, the first challenge that we understood for our community is absence of water sources in the rural area. So to get the daily consumption for water, people are sacrificing a lot to get water. So the first and the foremost project that Drop of Water was working on is just to build access to clean drinking water for the rural communities, because that's the means to solve the prolonged problem. So as Hermela mentioned, Hermela herself and her friends were successful to build one water well for that community. That water well was the biggest milestone, even for the journey that Drop of Water has, because these students started by building a water well before anything, before like talking any other sustainable issue or any other important agendas like hygiene and sanitation. So the first thing we do is to ensure the community have access to clean drinking water. And to ensure that the community have access to clean drinking water, we do different kinds of construction. It could be a pipeline construction or providing water system, or it could be drilling a boreholes, shallow, deep, or even hand dug wells, a development of springs. So different small scale and a medium scale of water supply projects. These are the anchor and the main thing of our programs. And the second one is to promote the hygiene and sanitation for the rural communities, which is related with the sustainability of the clean drinking water, water management for the community, and also the behavioral change of the community to improve, to practice improved hygiene and sanitation practices. The other program that we are working is the climate resilient water safety plan. That was also one of our biggest achievements in our programs. The climate resilient water safety plan is to mobilize the community and empower the community to identify hazardous factors and hazardous scenarios that could potentially affect or contaminate the water quality. Another signature project of Drop of Water is called the AAC, which stands for Aware, Activate, and Change. This is one of the projects that bring young volunteers to the professional sector for the world, for the water. So this AAC is just to create an awareness for those who doesn't know about the shortage of clean drinking water in the rural area. And once they are aware about the problem that's going on in the rural community, Drop of Water provides a platform or an opportunity to become these aware people, or particularly the young generation, to become an active change agent for the community. So this is one of the signature projects that Drop of Water is working. And since the origin of Drop of Water, we are working with different, like thousands of youngsters and university students, empowering them to become the water advocate or the water conscious generation. So we are also working in empowering and engagement with young volunteers. I think these are some of the projects. We also have the nutrition project, which is one of the integral points for our water and sanitation projects in the rural community. We support the rural communities to improve their dietary diversification through home gardening practice. So we support local households to practice home gardening so that they will have diversified and improved nutritional practices. Yeah, maybe Hermila can also add some points.
Yeah, you captured it well. Yeah, actually, I was thinking to share about our school wash and image change programs. And previously, like when we, as Elfaz mentioned, we were more focusing on the water supply aspect of our program. But then we start integrating the sanitation and hygiene promotion and access initiatives into our broader wash programs. So we become holistic wash focused. Instead of just water supply focused, we become following like a holistic approach of addressing the crisis from the different perspective of water supply, sanitation, and hygiene. So we work in the communities, we work with health centers, we work with schools. You know, we have different setups, and one of the areas is schools, the rural school areas or rural school vicinities. And in those areas or in those schools, we make sure like we provide the water supply for the school community, because as we mentioned, even from my first exposure on the field and Elfa's exposure from the field, one of them, the main challenge that we have witnessed was the school kids were the one who were fetching water from the pond or the polluted resources, and mostly they miss out schools. So if we had the opportunity, or if we gave them the water access in for the household in the communal area and also for the school in the school vicinity, then it will decrease the burden and make the opportunity for the school kids to attend schools. So not only having access to clean water for the school compound, but also like integrating it with sanitation facilities or latrine construction in the school compounds, and even the awareness or the promotion of the hygiene and sanitation part is also included in our programs, because most of the kids, they don't have, to begin with, most of them, they didn't grow up having access to clean drinking water, and then also they don't have the awareness of how to keep their personal hygiene and their personal hygiene in their day-to-day lives. So we make sure like we integrate different kind of fun, innovative kind of, because it's a school vicinity, so we can't just go there and, you know, make the usual kind of awareness programs. But since they are kids, we went through our volunteers. Most of our university-based volunteers are the one who design and implement those kind of fun-centered or fun kind of awareness programs, so that the school kids can easily understand the message that we are trying to convey. So that's also one of the approach that we use. We do different kind of events, posters, events like campaigns in the schools, where the school compound, where the school kids, and also including the management team and the teachers and the associations are also included in this program. And we make sure, like, because if you just only address the school kids, if they we didn't get the buy-in from the school administration, then we will not be successful enough. So we make sure like we integrate or we include both the administrative and the management of the schools, the teachers, and also even the families, and also the school kids. On top of that, we understood like adolescent girls have or face daily challenge when they start their period or their menstruation cycle, because first there is a cultural ignorance in the community where it's viewed as a taboo rather than natural science, natural cycle of a girl or a woman. So we start campaigning about educating the in the school and also in their family or in the community to make sure like there is this common understanding of it's a natural cycle for women and it's a healthy process for a girl or a woman to experience menstruation cycle. So we start from that one, and also we provide, most of them, they are economically disadvantaged. So we provide sanitation materials like sanitary pads for the school young girls, so that they can keep their sanitation whenever they have, whenever they experience menstruation cycle. And also in the school, most of the time, like they don't have, it's sometimes, you know, it's not easy to experience, to have that menstrual cycle, and they might need some private rooms. They might need to rest, you know, even to change their pads or for any kind of related privacy purposes. They don't have that freedom in the school areas or in the school compound. So we make sure like through discussion with the school community and administrations to provide designated girls room and class, so that women can have some, the girls or the school kids can have some private times whenever they have their menstrual cycle, and also to even to discuss like to peer-to-peer whenever they have some kind of issue they experience, they can have some peer-to-peer discussions in those privately designated resting rooms. So those are one of the areas that we work, as well as part of the MHM program, in addition to the campaign and the product supply and the other things that we do in the school wash program. So yeah, these are the some of the programs that we do.
Well, Drop of Water has come a long way from building one borehole to so many different programs. And it's very inspiring that how you involve so many different stakeholders, from school kids, university students, families, teachers. It's a very inclusive, integrated approach in designing solution. And it's very inspiring. And what are the challenges that you face when you try to work on the solutions on ground? And also, if you can tell us, on what regions of Ethiopia do you operate?
Basically, we can operate across all regions of Ethiopia. That license will allow us to do that. But so far, we only worked on across 7 regions in Ethiopia. But we want to expand our reach and as much as possible to reach out to many people and to many regions as much as possible.
And if you can talk about some of the challenges that you face when you try to implement solutions, what are some of those challenges, if you can talk about?
Working in the water sector has different factors of different challenges from different factors, including the resource limitation, and also the geographical setup of the country in Ethiopia, where most of the rural community are based in the hard to reach area, and also the settlement of the households, which are scattered, and it could be challenging for us to reach all the community with one water solution, and different cultural context of the community, and mainly the topography and the geological condition of the areas where Ethiopia is located. Even for the reachable communities, and where we implemented projects for access to clean drinking water, not only drop of water, by different development partners. The first challenge is the sustainability issue. Most of the water points become malfunctioning, and sometimes aging factors on the infrastructure is the challenge for the functionality rate of unsustainable water solutions. So these are some of the challenges we have. And currently the global issue, and nationally the peace and safety of the community in Ethiopia might be somehow challenging to reach in all directions of the community to implement projects. These are some of the challenges that we are facing.
And when you mention about sustainability challenge, what roles do you think indigenous knowledge and traditional water management system can play in today's water solution?
Most of the sustainability issue are related with either with water source management or the groundwater potential, and also the governance of water points. Sometimes different community practice poor governance on water system management, particularly the hand dug well, the water pumps, or even boreholes could not be managed well and sustained. It could be lack of financial contribution or fee collection from the beneficiary community, and it will lead the community to a shortage of spare parts and maintenance and operational issues. These are the different problems. And also the climate issue. Most of the water resources become dry and unreachable. Even sometimes springs and shallow boreholes become dry because the water table become lower and unreachable. So this is the main factor for the sustainability issues. And we tried different approaches to make water points and water projects more sustainable. And we deal with empowering and enhancing the community in different forms, like by changing these volunteer-based wash committees into the utility-based, and so that strengthening the collection fee and make some benefit for the utility to manage the water system for a longer period of time, and also support the youngsters and the private engagement in the rural areas by providing spare parts and water maintaining activities, so that they will make money by maintaining water points for the community, and also the water points become more sustainable. Moreover, focusing on the capacity building for the community, the community leaders, the wash committees or the utilities become the most significant effort for us to ensure the water sustainability.
And you often use very collaborative approach of working with the communities. where you operate. Do you also work with local governments in the process?
Yes, we work with the local government in different factors. The local governments, it could be the water administration office, the water resource management office, even the local leadership, depending on the hierarchies we are working with.
When we work with local government offices, starting when we say we work, we starting from the feasibility study, the site selection, you know, all the process, even before we start the implementation process, we make sure we engage the stakeholders, the government stakeholders. We get insights, recommendations, suggestions, experience, anything that they may have in their office premises and in their experience. And that would allow us to understand the gap, both from the government office side and also from the local community aspect as well. And even through the implementation process, and once we have the agreement and all those things, and we did the implementation, and we finished or completed the program, we make sure like we hand it over to the WASHCO team and also the water office to make sure the water will be handled, you know, or have the system to continue its sustainable feature as well. So that's how we engage the government stakeholders as well.
What are your thoughts about the future of water management in the region where you operate and in Ethiopia? How do you see the water sector, the water resource?
Yeah, still we believe that despite the water coverage we have in the country, still it's very low. And we also advocate that we need more innovative approach and solution to ensure the water sustainability projects. Like as a country, more than 37% of the rural population, still they don't have access to clean drinking water. And having this low coverage still is not a security for us to think the water coverage as a nation or as a country. So as Drop of Water, we are trying different approaches. We need the community to be conscious and serious in the water governance system, so that we need to build the capacity of the community in different ways, strengthening and increase the professionalization of the water professionals, even at very local levels, through capacity building, through business or private job creation means, so that the young group of people or the business, the entrepreneurs, that's the right word, the entrepreneurs to be involved in this sector, so that it will turn out to be like a kind of a business and social investments, so that people will make job out of maintaining and securing access to clean water for the rural community, and also the target beneficiary, who are the consumer of water sources, will seriously contribute and make the payment for the water use, so that the fee collection becomes strong, so that the water points will have a sustainable management and a good governance of the water system. And also implementing or relating with the WASH program, the Clean Water Supply and Hygiene Sanitation Program, into the Integrated Water Resource Management by doing climate change resilient programs, by afforestation, green movement, and other water source development and support system that will also help the water system become more sustainable. Otherwise, if we just ignore the water resource management and also the good governance part of the water system, it will also lead us to high malfunctionality rates for the water system and returning back the community to the unprotected water sources. So not only as Drop of Water, as a water conscious organization and also generation, we need to work in the capacity building for the community and integrate the water program, the water and sanitation program, with the integrated water resource management.
Thank you so much, Alfaz, and thank you, Hermila. And is there anything you would like to share that we did not cover today?
Just to add two things. The first one is, I just want to build up on what Elfaz was saying on good governance. But to add on that one, accountability system. There is no accountability system in the WASH sector. Like any NGO or any organization could go there, would work their programs and implement their project. They will go out and the community are not empowered enough. like to even request a quality service for the because at the end of the day we are serving them, and that's the service that we are providing should be gauged by the community as well, and make sure like they are sustainable and maintained, and you know, serving their need for longer terms. But whenever they're malfunctioning or something, sometimes even it's not in our case. In our case, we make sure like we are always accessible to the community. They can call us directly, you know, whenever there is this issue that they cannot solve at the WASHCO level or at the government office level. Sometimes they will call us, you know. But in other experiences that we heard from different field exposures, there is no one to ask. If one water wheel is not functioning, the communities, they don't have access. There is no system to get accountability into the system. So they will say like, okay, this water wheel is not functioning. Maybe the resource has been invested on that water resource or any wash facility that they once owned or that once it was implemented. But at the end, the community doesn't have a strong voice to ask what's right, what's wrong, or even, as I said, quality service program. So it's one of our agendas, I can say, like to create that kind of accountability system where the community have the full right to, you know, to question, to raise their concerns, their ideas, even, as I said, recommendations or any kind of thing that they have about their waterway. Because at the end, the water wheel is serving them, not the NGOs, not other stakeholders. It's serving the community. So they should be the ones who have the voice of that program, I guess. So that's one thing. And the other one is, of course, it's related with this one about the community demanding their wash right. Mostly in our experiences, we always do the work to make them aware, like, it's their right. Having access to clean water supply is every human right, you know, every human being right. But most of the communities in the rural areas, they don't, because that's been their custom, that's been their life. No one has told them, they don't have the finance, they don't have the capacity. And there is no system to make them aware of their rights. So I think a lot to be done to sensitize the community, because if they don't know their right, then they can't ask and they can't even manage it properly, you know. So that's one of the areas that we see as a gap and that needs to be addressed by all stakeholders.
So well, we end this podcast on the accountability of the water sector, of the water resource, which is missing at a global level. So yes, accountability is something we look forward to. And thank you, Hermila. Thank you, Elfaz, for your insightful knowledge and experiences and sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you, Keja. Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure.
More information on this locally led organization can be found in the podcast description, including their social media handles. Thank you for joining us.